Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. Tonight we're going to consider our little walk through the book of Job for this Lenten season. And tonight we turn to the 41st chapter of the book of Job, verse 33. On this earth is not his like, a creature without fear. The entire reading from the 41st chapter of Job starts at the first verse. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make many pleas to you? Will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you to take him for your servant forever? Out of his nostrils come forth smoke, as from a boiling pot, and a burning rushes. His breath kindles coals, and a flame comes forth from his mouth. In his neck abides strength, and terror dances before him. The folds of his flesh stick together, firmly cast on him, and immovable. His heart is hard as stone, hard as the lower millstone. When he raises himself up, the mighty are afraid. At the crashing, they are all beside themselves. Though the sword reaches him, it does not avail, nor the spear, the dart, or the javelin. He counts arrows as straw, and bronze as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee, for he slings stones, are turned to stubble. Clubs are counted as stubble. He laughs at the rattle of javelins. His underparts are like sharp potsherds. He spreads himself like a threshing sledge on the mire. He makes the deep pot, a deep boil like a pot. He makes the sea like a pot of ointment. Behind him, the leaves a shining wake. One would think the deep of to be white-haired. On earth there is not his like, a creature without fear. He sees everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so I will start tonight by giving you some clues, and then you can try to guess who it is I'm talking about. He was a professional and notorious thief. His name stirred fear as desert wind stirs tumbleweeds. He terrorized the Wells Fargo line like a tornado out of the Sierra Nevadas, spooking even the most rugged frontiersmen. During his reign of terror, from 1875 to 1883, he stole money from 29 stagecoaches. A hood hid his face. No victim ever saw him. No artist ever sketched him. No sheriff could ever bring him to justice. Do you know of whom I speak? Black Bart, one of the most infamous bandits of American Western lore. Well, tonight, the book of Job introduces us to another thief whose reign of terror is still on a roll. You know him, although you've never seen his face. But if you have ever felt shame and guilt, it was his accusing finger that was pointing at you. If you've ever felt alone and abandoned, it was by his design for you. If you ever felt like you were useless and no good, it was his whisperings that crushed your spirit. He is the Black Bart of the spiritual realm. But he doesn't want your money. He only wants to steal your soul from its creator. He wants to destroy your faith and to kill you in hell forever. As Jesus said of him in John chapter 10, he comes only to steal and kill and destroy. In Job chapters 1 and 2, he is called Satan, which means accuser. And after he taunts God and he denigrates Job's faith, he disappears from view, just drops out of sight for much of the book of Job. But now, in the 41st chapter, he returns full throttle. Only in this chapter, he is a monster called Leviathan. Now, who is Leviathan? Well, back in chapter 3, when Job was cursing the day of his birth, he said, "Let those who curse, curse the day of my birth, who are ready to rouse Leviathan. Why did I not perish at birth?" Leviathan was associated with the curse of death. And then twice in Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, Leviathan is mentioned. He is called the twisting serpent. Serpent. The same word as in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan took the form of that wily serpent to twist God's word and to deceive our first parents. And take a look at the features of Leviathan as is outlined for us in this reading. Flames dart forth from his mouth. Terror dances before him wherever he goes. His heart is hard as rock, caring nothing for us. He cannot be defeated by any weapon of man, and he is the king of all those who are filled with pride. And then in Revelation chapter 12, verse 19, we read, "The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray." And now, taking what we know from both Job and Revelation, the true identity of this supernatural creature has been revealed. Leviathan is none other than the original sinner, that wily, twisting, deceiving serpent, and the destroyer of Eden. And then Job goes on to say, in chapter 41, verse 33, these words, "On earth there is none like him, a creature without fear." On earth there is none like him. That's the verse that inspired a large part of Martin Luther's great battle hymn of the Reformation, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And in that hymn we sang of this ancient serpent. He means us deadly woe. He is filled with deep guile and great might. He fills the world with his demons, all eager to devour us. He is this world's scowling pierce, armed to fight, and on earth he has no equal. And although he is already judged, yet it is for that very reason that he is without fear. He has nothing to lose as he seeks to destroy you and everything else that God holds dear. And that makes him especially deadly and pernicious. "Whatever you want to do," he says, "just do it. You have some anger? Act on it. You have a sexual fantasy? Go for it. Did you hear some gossip? Let it fly." As the deceiver, he will tell you that you have no limits, there are no consequences, no responsibilities. And then, when we give in to these temptations, he plants his foot firmly on our neck and he says, "Now that you've said that, now that you've done this or thought this, now that you drank this or smoked this, or now that you saw this, you are beyond redemption. God is finished with you forever." But let's remember, Job 41 is all about victory. God's victory over this monster. Listen to what God says earlier in the chapter 41. He says, "Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down his tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Can you make a pet of him like a bird and put on him a leash for your girls? No, you can't. I can't. But God can. Leviathan is under God's thumb. God exhibits complete mastery over this fierce creature." Maybe you remember back in Job in the first chapter how God set limits for Satan. When Satan wanted to attack Job, God said, "This you are permitted to do, but this you are not permitted to do." Satan, you might say, is the Colonel Klink of the Bible. Do you remember Colonel Wilhelm Klink from the TV show Hogan's Heroes? Klink was that monocled commandant of Stalag 13, the toughest POW camp in Germany, he would boast. Oh, he thought he ran this camp with an iron fist. But the prisoners knew better. They were the ones who ran the camp. They listened in on Klink's calls. They read his mail. They planted ideas in his head, all the while using Klink as a stooge for the Allied cause. Klink may strut his stuff, but it was Hogan who called the shots. And just so, Satan may strut and prance and preen and make all kinds of noise and threats and accusations, but God calls the shots. Yes, there is a devil, but as Martin Luther often said, he is God's devil, which is to say that he does not have free reign, but he must work within the limits that have been set by God. That is great news for us. But there's more. In the Old Testament, Satan had free access to God's presence, which is why he was permitted to come into God's presence in the early chapters and to accuse Job. He apparently could come and go and bring accusations against people whenever he wanted. But by the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Satan was cast out of heaven. He no longer is free to accuse us at God's throne. For as Jesus says in Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And then, of course, in the end, Satan will fall even further. As we read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, he will be thrown into a lake of burning sulfur forever. The lake, the fire that was prepared for him and for his angels, the demons. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, John wrote, the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So the next time Satan accuses you, the next time he reminds you of something shameful in your past, you remind him of his future, and that your future has been secured by Christ's redeeming grace. As for Black Bart, turns out that he wasn't anything to be afraid of after all. When the authorities finally did track him down, they did not find a bloodthirsty, gun-slinging desperado from Death Valley. They found instead a mild-tempered businessman from Decatur, Illinois. The man that the papers had pictured storming through the West on horseback was in reality so afraid of horses that he rode to and from his robberies in a buggy. He was Charles Bowles by name, the bandit who never once fired a shot because he never once loaded a gun. And in Job 41, we see Satan for who he really is. A deadly monster, you bet. A supernatural creature who can do great harm, no doubt. The tormentor of our souls, the accuser of our conscience, count on it. But because of Jesus, he is our defeated enemy. He's got no bullets left in his gun. And so, as Luther says, he can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. And that's why we can live with such joy and confidence, even when we feel we are under fire. One little word can fell him. And that little word is Jesus. The one who comes to us with his real body and blood in the sacrament comes to share with us a very real victory. And I, for one, I cannot wait to kneel with you again to share together in that feast of victory. Victory over sin and guilt. Victory over death and the grave. Victory over Leviathan forever. In the blessed name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.